Good evening. You're listening to KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community-supported radio, and we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest, they're now available at www.givemesometruth.info, I-N-F-O, or linked from khen.org website. I am Melody, and my co-host this evening is Katie O'Brien, and the program is Truth Quest. And the opening song was, of course, John Lennon with Give Me Some Truth. And tonight I have two guests on that are both very good whistleblowers and people that are out there trying to inform the public. And before I get any further, though, I need to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And support for KHEN and Truth Quest brought to you by Kevin Barnes, agent for Land Property Inc.'s Little River Ranch, offering beautiful land home packages with underground utilities and river access just 3 miles from historic downtown Salida. Find out more at Colorado Home Properties or call Kevin at 719-207-0858. And the first guest is Dr. Rebecca Carley, and she received her bachelor's degree in diagnostic ultrasound, attended medical school, and received the Samuel L. Kuntz Award for Clinical Excellence in Surgery at graduation. She trained to be a general surgeon at State University in New York at Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn. Dr. Carley also worked as an attending emergency room physician at Kings County Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is the primary training affiliate for downstate students. This is the largest hospital and the busiest trauma center in the United States. Dr. Carley left the practice of general surgery and allopathic medicine after realizing that no one was actually being healed of their diseases. She started researching alternative medicine while taking time off to start a family. After Dr. Carley's only child was brain damaged as a result of inoculations he received, Dr. Carley learned how to reverse the damage with homeopathy and other natural supplements, and subsequently realized that inoculations of disease are causing the corruption in the immune system, which leads to all autoimmune diseases and cancer. Dr. Carley has developed the Hippocrates Protocol, which has successfully reversed all autoimmune diseases, including autism and cancer, in over 2,000 clients, including pets. Over the last 9 years, she has written the definitive paper explaining the mechanism whereby inoculations with disease are causing VIDS, vaccine-induced diseases, which has been featured in multiple publications all over the world and is available under the title Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction on her website at www.drcarley.com. She's also offered a $10,000 reward for any vaccine promoter to come on her internet radio program and refute the documents she has authored. No one has stepped forward to do so. Dr. Carley has been qualified in court as an expert witness in VIDS, VIDS, legal abuse syndrome, vaccinology, and child abuse. And Dr. Carley no longer practices medicine, but instead teaches clients nationally and internationally how to reverse their diseases using the Hippocrates Protocol she developed. She also goes into the hospital as a patient advocate for clients who are not satisfied with the care of their loved ones, the care that their loved ones are receiving. Besides being a guest on over 200 radio and television shows over 9 years, Dr. Carley has had her own weekly public access television show in Long Island, followed by a weekly internet radio show now on bbsradio.com. And on Thursdays and www.republicbroadcasting.org on Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Time, all entitled What's Ailing America. Archives are also available on both internet shows, and Dr. Carley is also available to give talks to interested groups that to teach what she has learned about vaccine-induced diseases and how they can be reversed, and has developed a course at the Hippocrates Academy where interested students can learn and be certified how to do the Hippocrates Protocol developed by Dr. Carley, which reverses all autoimmune diseases and cancer in people and in pets using their natural therapies. Dr. Carley, are you there?
Melody, you need to speak up.
Okay.
If you can speak a little louder.
Okay. There we go. I'll try that. Are you there, Dr. Carley?
I'm here.
Okay. And then we also have my co-host, Katie O'Brien. And again, we have Janet Phelan, who has published articles on the L.A. Times, the Santa Monica Daily Press, Long Beach Press Telegram, We Magazine, and elsewhere. She also hosts a radio show on KSK.
Rebecca, can you hear anything?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear. How's that? Wait just a minute.
I hit the highway in a pink RV with stars on the ceiling. Live like a gypsy. Six strong hands on the steering wheel. I've been a long time gone now. Maybe someday I'm gonna settle down.
Okay, we're going to give it another try here. Janet and Dr. Carley, can you hear me, Janet?
Yes.
Okay, great. So it may have been the connection there on the way we had it set up. Anyways, I was just finishing up your bio, but I think we pretty much covered that a little bit. So I guess we'll go ahead and let Dr. Carley tell us a little bit about why she's doing what she's doing on sounding the alarm on the vaccination issue.
Well, as mentioned in my bio, I was trained as a surgeon, and I worked as a surgeon at the busiest trauma center in the United States, and I saw a lot of troubling things, such as people being experimented on without their permission. Kings County Hospital is a huge hospital. It takes up a whole city block in Brooklyn, and many of the people that go there are homeless or, you know, on welfare or whatever, and they operate on them doing things that the people have no idea what's being done. In many cases, they have residents operating without the supervision of attendings and all kinds of very troubling things. And so eventually I left surgery, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was wanting to take time off to have a family, so I did so, and I had my only son, Joey, who's now 12 years old. And he received all his vaccinations because I didn't know any better. I was taught that vaccinations are the best thing since sliced bread, and that they have, stopped all these infectious diseases, and I believed it. So I got my son all his vaccinations, and he was always very sick as a young child. However, it was actually through a coincidence that happened, if there is such a thing as coincidence. I had gone to a naturopath to get some help with some issues that I had, in particular a non-union fracture of my foot. That's a fracture that does not heal because the idiot orthopedic surgeon that put a cast on my foot did not cover the fracture. So I was actually walking on a broken bone for 6 weeks, and it never healed. And I also had endometriosis, and so someone had suggested that I go to a naturopath to get help. And, of course, I never learned that word in medical school. I never learned the word homeopathy in medical school. And I went to her, and she gave me these little sugar pills I put under my tongue, which healed both conditions. So, of course, that's when I realized why I did not learn about homeopathy in medical school. But she happened to mention to me that there were homeopathic remedies that could reverse the dangerous effects of vaccinations. And that was a big shocker to me because, of course, we're not told that there's any dangerous effects to vaccinations. The big lie is that, you know, they're basically very safe. Occasionally you get a little swelling or a little fever. And they say, you know, 1 in 10,000 people or something get seizures, but they totally downplay the risk of vaccinations. But I gave these remedies to my son, and he became a different child, and that's when I realized that he had, in fact, been brain damaged. He wasn't autistic, but he became a different child. That's the only way I can explain it. I saw this with my own eyes. That's when I realized that my son had been brain damaged, and that's when I started really doing research into vaccinations. And I now say that vaccine-induced diseases are the biggest epidemic the world has ever known in people and in pets. They cause all autoimmune diseases, including autism, which is actually an autoimmune disease. It's an attack on the myelin. Although strokes are also involved, a lot of these children are having strokes of their brainstem at the microvascular level. Cancer, there was no such thing as cancer before this inoculation situation started. And in doing much research over the years, I've realized that now we have escalated to the point where vaccinations are actually being used for population reduction. Genocide, eugenics, they're able to develop vaccinations that particularly damage, you know, certain races of people. I have a book published by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, their life sciences division in 1989, where they talk about their development of anti-fertility vaccines. They're actually putting human chorionic gonadotropin, which is the hormone that women produce when they're pregnant, into diphtheria vaccines and giving this to women without their permission. They develop antibodies against that hormone, and then when they become pregnant, they abort their own children. So these are just a few of the things that I've learned in the many years. Actually, it's been 10 years I've been doing this. It's pure evil. These vaccinations actually have the extinction of the potential of causing the extinction of humanity because they're also altering our very genetic structure.
Now,
there are circular rings of DNA called plasmids, which are also being put into vaccinations, in particular DNA vaccinations, but all vaccinations can do this, and those have the ability to incorporate these rings of DNA into our genes and thereby can alter our genetic structure in many ways. And this is what my profession has become, totally corrupted to where now they're actually creating diseases. Medicine is totally controlled by Big Pharma, and basically they're creating the diseases with vaccinations especially. They're giving them at birth now, so basically they cause the disease, and then all of these drugs are produced to, quote-unquote, treat the disease. But, of course, nothing ever gets healed. They just, at the very best, sometimes will deal with your symptoms, but there's always side effects to these drugs. So once I realized the extent of this evil, that's when I decided that I was going to do everything that I could to cause the death of medicine.
We've often approached the subject of genocide on this program, and it seems to be addressed in so many different avenues, and without sounding like, you know, this is totally made up, the reason why I have been approaching this subject is there's documentation of this in all kinds of literature and things put out by the people that created this tragedy, actually.
Yes.
And when you get into the history on this to really back up and make you, you know, understand, you know, that this is, you know, could even be true. I mean, because it's really pretty a horrifying thought when you think of it. And why would anybody want to, you know, create something that kills off populations? But it's out there all around us all the time, and we get so immune to it, we don't even realize that it's there. Correct?
Well, this is one of the biggest problems that I have, and I know Janet has the same problem in dealing with her work, which gets to the highest levels of the conspiracies. These are not conspiracy theory, folks. These are realities. Janet and I can both document everything that we say. And the hardest thing to have people of conscience understand is that this is how evil is. I mean, these things are happening. People of conscience can't even comprehend that other people would develop ways of killing people with biological warfare agents, and they would call it a health measure. I mean, it's just like in Nazi Germany. They told the people to get in the gas chambers because they were going to, you know, take a shower, basically. Well, now they're not putting the people in concentration camps. They're putting the concentration camps in the people. So what I would, you know, advise everyone to do that's listening is don't believe anything I say. Check things out for yourself. The information is out there. You have to go looking for it. You're not going to hear this about this on the mainstream media. One of the first things I would suggest you do is go to my website, drcarly.com. You can download the book, Horrors of Vaccination, Exposed and Illustrated. The subtitle is Petition to the President to Abolish Compulsory Vaccination in the Army and Navy. It's 245-page PDF document. So if you don't want to spend a whole ink cartridge, you can also call Dr. Truott, who has reprinted this book. His number is 866-989-9876. He's selling it for cost. This book is very important. It was written in 1920, and this book documents the horrors of the smallpox vaccination, which started this whole vaccination ball rolling. Vaccinations were actually developed at the end of the 17th century in England. This minion by the name of Edward Jenner started taking cow pus from cows that had been infected with cowpox and injecting it into people and believing that this was going to protect them from smallpox. But what it actually did was combine with the smallpox virus to create something called variola. But in this very important book, he documents all of the death and destruction, not only of the people, but of the animals as well. They were inoculating animals way back then. This is how hoof and mouth disease got started. He's got photographs in here of the thousands of cows they had to slaughter after they got this disease from vaccination. So not only is this book very important to show that they've known very well what the vaccinations were really doing for almost a century, but also he's got the law in this book, the constitutional law showing that what he calls a blood assault is totally unconstitutional. And this is going to be very important information for the people to have in their hands, because the bird flu vaccine has already been licensed and produced. The bird flu vaccine will cause the bird flu pandemic, and this will give the dictator that's now occupying the White House an excuse to put us into martial law. Bush has already written an executive order that there will be no elections in November if we're in a martial law situation. So people need to start asking themselves, now why would he do that? What would he possibly be thinking is going to happen? And I'm sure most of the listeners of your show know about 9/11, that it was an inside job. We see how these various quote-unquote terrorist attacks are manufactured as an excuse to take away our rights. And rather than become afraid, people have to understand that if we don't do something, we are at a critical time in all of our history right now. And I'm not talking about a revolution. I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. Once we wake up enough people to make them understand what our government is doing, experimenting on people, decreasing the population, put Memorandum 200 into Google, and you will read about how Henry Kissinger went in front of Congress and talked about how population reduction is a national security issue. They want to decrease our population to World War II levels, and vaccinations is one of the prime ways they're doing it.
So
I think it's very, very important that people start focusing on issues of biological terrorism, because as our technology advances, the people in power simply advance their weapons systems. And while, you know, back in the 40s, you know, there was the A bomb and then the H bomb, we need to look very closely at the laws governing biological and chemical weapons, because those appear to be the modern weapons, and those appear to be what people in power are intending to use. And I will just once again mention that infamous Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute, which is authorizing the use of toxins, poisons, against citizens of the United States of America.
And we also have Title 50 of the U.S. Code, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, which was written in 1969, which actually says that the Department of Defense can experiment on any American with biological or chemical warfare agents as long as the local civilian officials have been notified 30 days in advance, and they can do so with vaccinations. They can use vaccinations in conjunction with the Department of Health. Now, why would they write such a law? What's going on here, folks? This has been around since 1969. And, of course, we hear, you know, President Clinton went on the air at some point and talked about, you know, the Tuskegee study where they allowed black men that had syphilis to progress to the tertiary stages and become very, very sick while they just watched them to see what would happen. And he apologized for these experiments and said that would never be done in America again. Well, that's just one of the many lies that these minions tell us, folks, because not only did it not stop, but now they're experimenting on everybody. I'm sure you've talked about chemtrails on your show before. All you have to do is look up in the sky and see these funny white lines that were never there years ago. And sometimes they're so massive that the whole sky turns white. What are they spraying on us? You see, there's so many layers to this onion. There's so many things they're doing to take away our health and to put us in a chronic disease state, because, of course, once they finally take off their mask, and there's no question that they have made slaves out of us, taken away all our rights, and we're officially in the New World Order big time, they don't want anybody to be healthy to stand up and resist. And so they're killing us softly. That's what they're doing.
Have you done any work with Leonard Horowitz?
Leonard Horowitz is a minion. Leonard Horowitz is a Knight of Malta. He is now Sir Leonard Horowitz. And Leonard Horowitz is actually holding himself out to be the Messiah now. He's on BBS Radio where I also have a show, although I'll be going off that network at the end of this week, and that's one of the reasons, because they have people on such as Leonard Horowitz. Leonard Horowitz is actually now promoting that the solfeggio tones, which he found through the help of some other person, allegedly going into the Bible, they purport that they have found these tones that were lost, that the monks used to, you know, sing. And Leonard Horowitz purports that if 144,000 people on the planet all sing these tones at the same time, that the planet will be healed. I hate to tell you folks, but we're going to need a lot more than that. Now, I'm not saying that Dr. Horowitz doesn't have good information. His book, AIDS and Ebola and Death in the Air, are pretty much right on target. But something has happened to Leonard Horowitz. He now has a YouTube video out where he contradicts his own information. He has in there that the AIDS virus was created by Robert Gallo in experiments he did where he combined a chicken leukemia virus and various other viruses. That's the truth. And then he also has something on the video where he has an interview of Maurice Hilleman of Merck fame, who says that the AIDS virus actually came out of Africa from green monkeys that they used to make their vaccine. So in his own YouTube video, he's contradicting himself. Is it Robert Gallo or is it the monkey viruses that caused AIDS? In fact, it was actually created in a laboratory in the United States. So I don't know what happened to Dr. Horowitz, but there's no question in my mind that he now works for the other side.
Okay. Well, that seems to make it pretty clear. Because I'd picked up on some of this myself, so I was just curious.
Well, let me just comment on that, because that's very important, and that's why I always tell people, don't believe anything I say either. Check things out for yourself, folks. Read my documents. See if it does not ring true. And because there's so many disinformers out there, it's unbelievable. The minions are everywhere, and what they do is they take truth and they speak, say, 90% truth, and then the rest is lies, 10% lies. Well, the lies are what's going to lead you down the wrong path. So you must develop the ability to discern the truth, because there's so many people out there leading you down the wrong path. For example, in the autistic community, there's so many autistic groups out there taking thousands, if not millions of dollars from parents of autistic children and telling them that it's all about the mercury and the vaccines, that mercury causes autism. Mercury has nothing to do with autism. But the reason this disinformation is out there is because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. And a bigger lie has never been told. So you have to check things out for yourself. And you also have to look at the people that are speaking. What has happened to the people? They've taken away my only child. They've taken away my medical license. What's happened with Dr. Horowitz? He's a multimillionaire living in Hawaii. Okay? So there's certain ways that you can, you know, kind of evaluate who's who in the zoo based on have they had any problems. Because I can assure you that if you speak the truth at the highest levels, the minions come after you. But you see, some of us must have the courage and the backbone to do so, because as I always say, I would rather be shot between the eyes than live in the world in which they're going to create. So I have no fear. I continue to do what I must do, and I'm very happy to say that there are many others joining with me at this time, because there's a lot of people that are realizing this truth. And the information that Janet brings to the table, there's so many ways that they're trying to poison us. Her story about water as a weapon was one of the most troubling stories that I ever read. So once you understand that they have all of these plans on ways to kill you, this can save your life. This information can save your life. If you decide that you're going to become an ostrich and put your head in the sand because you don't want to see the monster under the bed, it's too scary, that's up to you. But you may die because of that. Because just because you refuse to believe that what's happening is actually happening doesn't mean it's not going to happen to you.
Janet, would you like to get into the water as a weapon at all? Or at this point, or would you like to wait a little bit?
Yes, I would. But I'd like to say something about medicine myself. The last time that I had an experience with a doctor, I had developed something that was beginning to feel like pneumonia or some sort of chest virus or something, and I had a friend take me to the emergency room at Ashland Community Hospital. I usually kind of stay away from doctors. I was seen in the emergency room, and they did a chest X-ray, and the doctor said it looked clear, and he started insisting I take a breathing treatment, and I thought, well, you know, can't hurt. So I was given a breathing treatment, and a couple hours later, I started to get so sick. And actually, I remember I spent an entire night lying in bed, gasping for air, and praying that I survive. And I was quite sick for quite some time, and I did seek Dr. Curley's help. And she doesn't have a medical license, like she said, but she does consults with people concerning natural remedies.
And I teach them what I would do if I was them. Yeah.
Right, and she teaches them what she would do.
Right.
And so I did consult with Dr. Curley, and one of the ways this was manifesting, I spent that horrible period of time where I really couldn't breathe. I really thought I was just going to croak, and that was right after that breathing treatment. What was happening was I live in Southern Oregon, and I'd be walking up a hill, and I really couldn't make it to the top of the hill or even halfway up the hill, and I would be breathless and just wheezing. And I have been following, certain suggestions that Dr. Curley has given me, and I'm finding that I am bounding up hills again. So, this whatever this was in this breathing treatment that I was so allergic to, and that was so detrimental to me, it's certainly been greatly, greatly alleviated. And these natural remedies, which a lot of people think of, I think, sort of as, old wives' tales or folk remedies or something, not really quite bona fide. I have found myself, quite a bit of help with these. Certainly, I never had an experience like I had with natural remedies when I went to Ashland Community Hospital, trying to figure out what was wrong.
Well, I just want to mention about that because it's very important for people to realize that there's natural ways to heal anything. And the reason that this is all poo-pooed by Big Pharma is because Big Pharma makes billions, if not trillions, of dollars off your death and disease. They have no desire to cure anything. And, of course, our Creator gave us the ability to heal ourselves. We are given this. Our body has innate intelligence. If you get out of the way and learn what's bad for you, like fluoride and pesticides and genetically modified food and all of these things that they're telling us are just fine, aspartame's another one, these things are just fine. They're actually good for you. And, of course, they're all toxic poisons. So it's a matter of learning what's bad for you and doing what's good for you, but also learning what natural remedies can help you in whatever way that you need help. These natural remedies are made from things that our Creator gave us. They're not pharmaceutical drugs that are chemicals that have a benzene ring at their core, which in almost all cases is a petroleum byproduct. People don't realize how the Rockefellers have their hand not only in the oil business, but in the pharmaceutical industry. Almost all pharmaceutical drugs are derived from petroleum products. And so they take this toxin and then they add other chemicals to it, and then they give it to you, and they tell you that this is going to treat your disease or manage your disease, but it never heals anything, and it gives you side effects. Now, drugs can give you side effects, although I feel in Janet's case she was particularly targeted and given something because of who she is and what she does. So they can intentionally go after you in the hospital. And in fact, as far as my work as a patient advocate, when I go into the hospital, I'm called in because people think that their loved ones are being killed. And I have documented many cases, especially in the cases of elderly people. You see, the elderly are looked upon as useless eaters. The Medicare Trust Fund was stolen by Congress long ago. This is the one important fact that Ross Perot brought out when he ran for president. There is no money in the Medicare Trust Fund, so they don't want the old people to survive because then they just have to print more Federal Reserve notes. So what they're doing now is they're killing them. And the usual way it goes, especially if they're in a nursing home, they're now forcing them to get pneumonia and flu vaccines every year. This will, of course, give you the pneumonia and flu. That gives them an excuse to put the person in a hospital for a touch of the flu. And before you know it, after drawing many blood samples or whatever, they end up needing a blood transfusion. And this is something I see all the time. They give a mismatched blood transfusion, and then you end up in cardiac arrest. Or they can give you a drug cocktail that they know you're going to develop renal failure and have to go on dialysis. Or they can give you something that they know you're allergic to. Or if you're diagnosed with cancer, then they'll end up putting you in a hospice and put you on morphine until you stop breathing.
Now, Dr. Yes, go ahead. Dr. Carley, but you have to realize there are a lot of people out there with good intentions, and that there is some, there are good reasons for having treatment by a medical care, say like in accidents and trauma and that sort.
Yes,
correct?
Trauma is the only reason, in my opinion, that anyone should go to a hospital. And then you have to get out of there as fast as possible. I'm not saying that there aren't people with good intentions in the hospital, but I'm telling you, and I know for a fact, that they have people there whose job it is to get rid of the old people. That's what they do.
And it may be tied more to monetary reasons as much as anything? Or is it?
Well, that's what I said.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure of that.
Okay, all right.
I think that there it certainly is a monetary impetus behind this.
Okay.
But there, you know, the eugenics movement, which, you know, really, people think of eugenics, they think of Hitler and what Hitler did. But people have to realize that the eugenics movement started in the United States of America, and what Hitler learned, basically he copied from American, the American model, and that the eugenics, basically, people who promote eugenics, basically, I understand, have a, sort of a twofold impetus here. I mean, the monetary impetus is there. However, eugenicists usually have a vision of who is going to populate the world. And as we know, Hitler saw the world populated by tall, blonde people, okay? And he didn't want the gypsies, the Jews, whoever else, the homosexuals, people who did not fit his vision of who belonged on planet Earth. And eugenicists usually have this sort of vision, as well as whatever monetary greed feeds into, you know, killing off people who might be on entitlement programs.
I've been surprised at how many people I've talked to that have said that, you know, the planet's too populated, and so what do they think that they were going to do about it, is my question.
Well, you know, it looks like, to me, that they have a number of programs. They have the probate courts for the elderly. They have, as Dr. Carley was explaining, the flu and pneumonia vaccines for the elderly, which will basically hasten, you know, their passing. They have, for the homeless people, if you read Army Regulation 210-35, which is a declassified document, it is available to read on the web, there is one sentence in there which reveals who these inmate civilian labor camps on military bases will be for. And the sentence says that these camps shall be set up in accordance with the McKinley Homeless Assistance Act. So you have concentration camps for homeless people, you've got probate conservatorships and flu vaccines for the elderly, and, you know, you have other programs going as well. And this kind of brings us to the water weapon, which there's been a lot of, you know, questions, well, who's this for? Who's going to get this? And frankly, I don't know. But it looks to me like this particular weapon system has been set up to individually target households. So whoever is in a household, that under whether it's demographics, whether it's income-related, whether it's a religiously based, you know, we don't want the Protestants, we don't want the Jews, whatever it is, they do have the ability through the water weapon to individually target households of people with this. Now, for your listeners who don't know what this is about, first of all, I would refer you to a couple of articles which were published in the American's Bulletin, and they are also available on the web. One is Water as a Weapon. The second article is called Water Wars, an Update. And basically what they have done is they have they are planning to use water as a delivery system. And they have tweaked the water system. And in most communities, almost all communities, on all streets now, except for the communities that they haven't finished work on yet, because they're now tying up the loose ends of this project. It's almost done. They have double line systems. So you have two mains running down almost every single street in America. One of them is, of course, water. The question is, what is in the second main? Because the two mains are cross-connected, and they are cross-connected with remote control valves. So that whatever is in the second main, which I call the Viper line, has the capability upon deployment for the remote control valve to open, and it can flood in the service line into your house. Now, there is no substantial reason to have these double line systems, and all of the desperate sorts first of all, denying that they're there when I finally did get blueprints, and then they couldn't say they weren't there anymore, and then they tried to say that that this was a backup system, but it obviously wasn't a backup system, because when they were doing the work on the street, they had to run a gutter pipe down. They couldn't tie into that second main because it's not drinkable. So in Section 817 of the U.S. Patriot Act, Michael Chertoff, who was the chief author for the U.S. Patriot Act, has authorized the use of delivery systems and toxins.
Janet,
interestingly enough,
when you're talking, it's kind of clapping. So if you kind of put your mouth away a little bit. So.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay.
That's fine.
This might be better.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that Michael Chertoff has a secret cousin, and his secret cousin's name is Larry Chertoff. Now, Larry is one of the top water guys in the country. He has been with the EPA in New York City. He has worked on the Global Intelligence Water Report. He has been in charge of all kinds of water projects and public-private partnerships having to do with water. He's now a director for the Alinda Corporation, which I believe does consulting on water systems globally. And the reason that I call Larry a secret cousin is that he vehemently denies any relationship with Michael Chertoff. However, Larry's ex-wife spilled the beans, basically, and did admit that they were cousins. Now, there's an interesting amount of duplicity that runs through that family. Larry Chertoff has a son named Ben Chertoff. Ben was an editor at Popular Mechanics when, a couple of years ago, they ran a cover story, devoted most of an issue to debunking the conspiracy theories around 9/11. That was Ben Chertoff's baby. So we have, we basically have a family affair here. It looks like Michael Chertoff is, you know, writing these things into law and making delivery systems and toxins legal. So it is now, we have now basically bypassed any need for due process, and our government has authorized the use of toxins, which are poisons, to kill people.
So
Michael's writing it into law, and Larry's setting up the water system.
Yeah, but isn't there more of a background there with Michael, too, that would lead back to this eugenics possibility, or do you get into that at all, Janet?
Well, you know, what I know about Michael, I think he, either his father or grandfather was a rabbi. He has dual citizenship with Israel and the United States of America. Israel's a big problem now, because the government of Israel has basically been taken over by what I could only call a Nazi element. I mean, if you look at the policies of the government of Israel, if you trace the Sabbatean influence, as Barry Chalmers has done so well, in terms of the government of Israel. You know, you're going to see a government that is every bit as duplicitous and disinterested in the welfare of its citizenry as the United States of America is in terms of its own populace.
And when you say, when you were saying they is part of, you know, all across the country, what led you to think that it would have been all across the country with the water, these water systems? And what did you see that really, you know, jumped out at you that this was going on?
Well, I'll have to say that initially I didn't just look at the Patriot Act and go, you know, toxins and delivery systems, what does that mean? I was tipped off concerning the water weapon. This is, I said it's not quite finished yet, it's almost finished. So this is basically pretty much ready for deployment in many, many cities now. And this has already been deployed against some people. And I am aware of a couple of people who have survived this. So I was tipped off about this. So I had to sort of reason backwards. You know, something like this can happen, and one person's house can get, you know, noxious. How can that be? So I had to sort of figure out, you know, what sort of system could actually produce something like this. And I had some false starts first in trying to, like, figure this out. But I talked to a lot of engineers. I talked to some people who worked on the streets, and I began to realize there are double water lines everywhere. And then I started trying to get records of blueprints, and I started meeting with all this resistance and all, you know, all. I started actually getting the city of Los Angeles actually finally agreed to give me water blueprints, and every single blueprint that they gave me was stamped redacted. Now, redacted means altered or excised. So they said it would take them several weeks, you know, to get the blueprints for me because they had to redraw them. And they had to redraw them so as to remove the information. However, I had made a point. I had developed some ways of getting bona fide blueprints, and it's not that hard. I mean, you find out where the work project is going on. You go up to, you know, some guys working on the street. You start chatting with them, and you say, hey, anybody got the blueprints here? And the street workers generally have no idea that there's anything bad going on. They're laying down pipe. They have, you know, nobody has said this is a eugenics program. They're just city workers or contractors who are putting down pipe. So very often they will say, oh, yeah, you want to see blueprints? Sure, here they are. So what I would do, you know, is find a work project and get some copies of blueprints and start photographing them. And this is the way that I began to document the double line system. Now, when I contacted the city of L.A. and asked, you know, directly through channels, you know, of the government for those blueprints, I got some of the same blueprints that I'd already gotten, you know, off a friendly foreman at a work site. And the blueprints L.A. gives me are redacted. They have one line. The blueprints I got off the truck have two lines. So that is a piece of information that they are trying to keep from the public. Now, most recently, I moved to Medford, Oregon about a year ago, and I started working on getting information about this here. Oregon has an open and transparent government policy. And in Medford, Oregon, you can walk into the Water Commission. They have a computer there, and you can copy off plats which show where the water lines and the service lines are. You know, no big deal. And they provide this service for free. You don't even have to pay for the prints. Well, I did develop a source here in Medford, and I got some other prints, and lo and behold, they do not match what the city of Medford is offering to the public on those computers in the Medford Water Commission's office. We've got the double line systems again here in Medford, Oregon, and they don't show up. There are a couple of streets that I have found in these plaques that they offer us, you know, to print off free of charge. A couple of streets I found that do show double water lines on them, but almost every single plat that they offer us does not show them, and the blueprints that I got through my own back door do show them.
What is
now, another aspect of the system is the remote control water valve, because if they are going to deploy this as a weapon of mass destruction, they will need to do this in somewhat of a covert manner. And if suddenly they're dispatching teams of workers across America to start digging up the streets and turning water valves, it's going to be a little obvious that something's going on, particularly if people then get sick from the water.
What is their answer for that second line when you ask them about it?
Well, I had some very interesting correspondence with the city of Spokane. I got some blueprints for a section of Spokane, and I started contacting the city, you know, asking questions. And since I obviously already had the proof of the second line, they couldn't say, like Los Angeles was trying to say, it didn't exist by giving, you know, redacted blueprints that didn't show those lines. So the first thing, obviously, the lines had had intersecting lines. They were cross-connected, which meant what, you know, was going from what I call the Viper line, you know, would pass into the water line and then into the person's house on the service line. And the first thing they tried to tell me was that the lines were not cross-connected. And they said that the connecting pipe was, they said, oh, well, the connecting pipe is plastic and it's flexible. So it just goes under the other pipe or over it. It just doesn't really cross-connect, because it is illegal. In almost every single state that I've looked at the statutes, it is illegal to connect potable, drinkable water with non-drinkable water. So they're saying, these are not connected. I know it looks like it in the blueprints, but they're not. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I was at the work site. I saw the connective pipe. I photographed it. It was not plastic. It was metal, and it was not flexible. At that point, they changed their story, and I saved these emails. And they came back and said, well, oh, you're right. The connective pipe, well, actually, the blueprints say that both mains, the parallel mains, are 5.5 feet deep, but the blueprints lie. They're not both at the same depth, because, you know, their thinking is if they're at different depths, then what looks in the blueprint like cross connections aren't there. So when pushed into a corner, they said the blueprints lied. Not that they're lying. Not that these are actually cross-connected, but the blueprints are now lying. Now, you know, that's a little difficult to argue with, and it's also extremely unlikely.
Well, when I first heard of you, I'd run across your article on the Internet, and I happened to be listening to a program put on by Dr. Wynn Parker, who's a foremost expert on water in this country, who works at the congressional level. Do you want to explain a little bit what happened when you two got together and discussed this? Janet?
I don't know what you mean. We did a radio show about this.
Right. But in other words, he backed up what you were saying, correct?
Well, he didn't have the blueprints.
Apparently when I was listening to the program, what I gleaned from it was that he brought you on this program to discuss it because he saw some credibility to your work. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Well, he was very supportive of my work. He has been dealing with issues of chloramines in water, you know, not in a specific targeting, you know, only your house gets chloramines system, but where we're all getting chloramines, which are carcinogenic. So he understands definitely that water has become a big issue. And as I recall in the interview, he was very supportive and concerned about what I had uncovered. Yes, you're right about that.
Okay, that was my point.
I would just like to interject something. The obvious question comes in as to what is the toxin that they're going to use. Now, of course, there's nothing saying they have to use the same toxin in all areas, but what I think, what I feel very strongly is that one of the reasons that we're having all these food poisonings, especially with the vegetables, and you got salmonella here and botulism there, and this is in the news on a regular basis, is because they're getting people, you know, just used to the idea that people are getting poisoned all the time by food. You know, there's always some food outbreak happening someplace. And one of the sources that I have in Canada found evidence that there's some company that's making botulinum toxin. So I think that it might be very possible that one of the poisons that they'll use will be some kind of toxin such as that. So that it'll take a while for people, you know, to get it, especially because in a certain area, if you've got certain food sources, you know, they can say, oh, there's a botulinum outbreak here, you know, and blame it on the food, that the people are eating food at the same place rather than anybody looking at the water. So that's something we don't know. And I wanted to just mention one other thing, because you brought up this issue of overpopulation. There are many people who actually do say, yes, there's too many people in the world. What are we going to do? Well, we shouldn't be murdering them, people. I mean, you know, this is pure evil. But what people have to also realize is that there are technologies available to clean the air, to clean the ocean. I even know of a homeopath that's cleaning pesticides off golf courses. There are technologies that have already been developed, natural energy, Tesla technology, all kinds of things that have already been developed, which will not pollute the earth. But, of course, the elitists that are in charge of the world, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they don't have a piece of that action. And they're not looking for that technology to be brought forward to the public because they're selling all their oil and all of their other products that they wish to keep on selling. So it's not a matter of that we have to kill off a certain number of the people. There's lots of space still left on this globe. We don't have to kill people in order to, you know, make this a cleaner world. There's other ways to go.
Well, I need to say this is KHENLP FM radio, 106.9 Salida, and the views expressed on this program are those of myself or my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And support for KHEN and TruthQuest is brought to you by Kevin Barnes, agent for Land Property Inc.'s Little River Ranch, offering beautiful land home packages with the underground utilities and river access just 3 miles from historic downtown Salida. Find out more at coloradohomeproperties.com or call Kevin at 719-207-0858. Before we go a little bit further, one thing that I've heard Dr. Parker speak a lot about that to toss into this mix is a little bit about recycled water. Are you familiar with that at all, Dr. Carly, or Janet?
Recycled water? No, I'm not familiar with that term.
Okay. That is a subject that he broaches quite a bit, but, you know, that's. We'll go on to what you guys are working with here. That's just something I was wondering about that could be in the pipes if go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, Melody.
No, I'm just thinking that that may be a way that's being deemed to utilize this recycled water. I don't know. It was just something.
The way the system is set up, and I now have I have blueprints from Idaho, from Washington, from Oregon, and from California. And the way that the system is set up is they can run anything they want to through that second line. That second, you know, this is a government project. This is government issue. And they can run anything they want to through it. So one of the disadvantages that we're at, that we're experiencing is, first of all, we don't know what it's going to be. And if we do figure it out, they can just change it. So, there is no reason in the world to put mixing capabilities on the main line. And this is what they have done.
And to just kind of throw in there just the idea that they wouldn't do such a thing, why do we have fluoride in the water?
Well, because if they didn't put it in the water, they'd have to spend millions of dollars to dump it in a toxic waste dump. Fluoride was also used as a drug in the Nazi prison camps to keep the prisoners docile, it's a mind control drug. So that's one of the many reasons that they're doing it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a 1-2 punch. Like, they use the fluoride to get us sort of docile and passive and you know, like Alfred E. Newman, what me worry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as we're sort of like dumbed down and dazed, they hit us with the left hook, which is, well, probably, you know, if they do go ahead and deploy this, the system will surely be fatal. You know, one of the things that I just today I was speaking with somebody who's out in Denver at the DNC. He's covering the DNC, and I asked him, well, you know, what's going on out in the streets? Because I heard that Recreate 68 was going to have, you know, huge protests and stuff. He says there's almost nothing. There's almost no protests. There's almost nothing going on. And you think back to what happened in 1968 at the Democratic National Convention, and there was a huge outpouring of you know, citizen sentiment as to what was happening in this country, and people just showed up en masse. Well, people just aren't showing up anymore. And I think part of the problem is that people have become passive and docile, which is one of the effects of fluoride.
Well, they also know there's going to be a SWAT team there to meet them. I mean, you know, it's the techniques that they're using now to keep people from demonstrating, it's Orwellian. You know, they come out in their black suits and they've got all kinds of weapons. As a matter of fact, they've actually done an update on Title 50 of the U.S. Code, and they're now allowed to use biological weapons for riot control. So there's no telling what could happen should you decide to exercise your First Amendment right. And that's why people have to start asking themselves, what is happening to this country? We hear all these talking heads in the District of Criminals talking about the Constitution, although President Bush let it slip that it's nothing more than a piece of paper. And that's what they view it as. And they're slowly but surely taking away all of our rights and committing treason, every one of them. Because all of these laws that have been passed, if they don't know what's in those laws and they signed them, then what kind of a job are they doing? But I can assure you that many of them know exactly what they're doing. As a matter of fact, I was shocked on C-SPAN. I watch C-SPAN a lot to see what the minions are up to. After Biden was picked as Obama's running mate, they had a whole series of shows on Biden on C-SPAN talking about or showing him giving different speeches and such. And they showed him in an interview done by the National Press Club. And one of the questions of one of the reporters was, they said to him, on September 10th, 2001, you stated at the National Press Club, when asked the question, what was the biggest threat to America in terms of terrorism, that the biggest threat was probably planes flying into buildings in an urban setting. This is a day before 9/11. He said this at the National Press Club. And they gave that as the preface to their question, what is the biggest threat to Americans now in terms of terrorism? And his response was, well, we have all of these underground tunnels, all of these subways. I think that would probably be the next place that they would hit. So I think the people that live in, you know, cities that have subways should take a listen to that, because apparently either he's a very good psychic or he has some inside information, knowing one day before the planes hit the World Trade Center that there was going to be planes flying into buildings in an urban center.
It really makes it sound like we're just terribly, terribly paranoid when we start getting off into the subject, and yet there's, I mean, when you start looking this information up, you're going to start finding facts to back it up, and that's apparently what you've done, Dr. Carley and Janet.
Yes, well, you're only paranoid if these things aren't happening.
Right.
You know, these are words that people use to basically make the people that don't want to know what's happening, I hate that word believe because there's a lie in the middle of the word believe, anything I say I have proof of. What I just said about Mr. Biden, I saw him say these words with his own mouth on television, telling lies to our vision. Everything I say in terms of inoculations, these are all things that I can document. That's why after over 2 years of having a $10,000 reward on my website for any vaccine promoter to come on my one of my internet radio shows and refute my documents, nobody's taking me up on that offer because they can't. Because everything I've written, I can back it up. And that's why people have to do their due diligence. You have to do your homework. I mean, this is a matter of life and death. Now, in terms of the water, there's not too much you can do because what water filter is going to stop the poison? We don't even know what poison they're going to use. But it's very interesting, and I sent Janet a copy of the article here in my local paper, the Charlotte Observer. There was an article about a month ago or so where they're basically promoting people getting back to drinking tap water. You know, they take all these interviews of people that are saying they're not buying bottled water anymore, it's too expensive, and, you know, why not just drink the tap water? So they're using the media for mind control purposes, and they're planting that idea in people's minds, like, why are you spending so much money on bottled water? Just drink it out of the tap. Now, isn't that very interesting that they would start to be doing that now as they're finishing off their dual water line programs?
One of the things I want to say in response to what Dr. Carley just said, I have been advising people to start storing water.
Yes.
Now, people are storing food. They're getting, you know, a lot of people are keeping stockpiles of food, but I think it's very, very important to start storing water. And just fill up those, you know, big jugs and put them in the basement, put them in the cupboards, because you know, when this hits, preparedness is everything, and it may be possible to get through this, you know, for the targets, you know, with their lives intact if they have supplies on hand. Interesting, also, this article that Dr. Carley is talking about, those sorts of articles have been popping up in newspapers all over the country about drink tap. And actually, I was in the middle of writing an article, which was a third article on water problem for the American's Bulletin. Well, and I was suddenly terminated there. They had been very supportive of my work. And on my articles on the water, my articles on the probate conservatorship stuff. But I started researching the local connection, and I had gotten, as I'd mentioned, documents from Medford, Oregon. I had been interviewing people, and the article that would have been published in the next issue of the American's Bulletin was naming names. It was naming names of people in city government. It was naming, there's a public-private partnership going on, at least in part, in terms of this water project with Lithia Motors, which was one of the big corporations in town. And there were names of people at Lithia who were actively, you know, inhibiting information about their work on these systems coming out. And, you know, suddenly I didn't have a job. But while I was researching this third article, I was noticing how many cities were promoting this, you know, get back on tap and forget about the bottled water. The American Water Works Association, which basically sets up the standards and distributes manuals. It's a nonprofit organization, but it's basically the standard bearer for water systems. If you go to their website, they also have a link, I think it's to drinktap.org or something like that. But they are also promoting, you know, get back on the tap. Well, it does appear that bottled water is going to be a lot safer when and if this is deployed. And I do believe it will be deployed, this system.
One thing I wanted to bring up, Janet, is that I had asked Janet about people with wells, if they were safe, and Janet informed me that the wells are being GPS. Now, what would be the reason for that? And it's amazing how God works. Shortly after she told me that, I had a client actually call me, a new client, that we got off on this subject because they had heard my show with Janet, and they said, in fact, they had a farm and they had a well there, and one day this woman and her husband were out in their barn dealing with their animals or doing whatever, and all of a sudden their dog started barking, and there was a man on their property, and he was, you know, came on the property without permission. He was there doing something with some computer that he had, and when they asked him what he was doing, he said that he had to GPS this electrical pole that they had there. And it was only after she heard my show with Janet that she realized that that electrical pole was right where the well was. And she realized at that time that he must have been GPSing the well. I mean, why would anybody be GPSing an electrical pole? That's ridiculous. So they're actually doing that, it sounds like, GPSing wells. Now, how they're going to access the wells, I have no idea. But apparently...
I don't either, but they are... One of the things that they have begun to do is to obsessively keep tabs on who is getting water from where. And the GPSing of wells goes into that sort of formula. But another way that they're doing this is across the country now, they have jump-started these water rights adjudications. And back in early 2007, I was up in Sandpoint, Idaho, where they're doing the North Idaho water rights adjudications. And I went to a meeting at the Sandpoint High School in the gymnasium, and that gymnasium was full of citizens who were very concerned as to why the government was demanding that they adjudicate their water rights. They weren't having any problems with people. I mean, it's like everything was copacetic. Everything was going okay. But when you do a water rights adjudication, you have to file with the government where you're getting your water from. So it's happening, these water rights adjudications are happening in Washington, they're happening in Idaho, they're happening, I believe, in New Mexico, they're happening all across country.
Right. Now that,
and once again, it is a way to keep tabs on who's getting the water from where.
Right. Now, that I've definitely heard about this for quite a while. They, when I lived where they did have wells, they the word was is that they were going to start measuring and the water that usage, and that would be via the electricity used. And so that would make sense.
Well, I'm not so much sure that they're measuring the usage, because when people are concerned they're going to put meters on wells, and I haven't heard too much of that going on, but I have heard, I did get the government, Idaho, Department of Water Resources to admit that they had GPSed almost all the wells.
Right, right.
So GPSing and metering are a little bit different. And it's not so much how much water you're using, but who is getting the water from where. You know, one of the interesting things about this really is a water planet. I mean, water, air, water is what you need for life. I mean, all these space, you know, explorations. There's water on Mars. If you notice, every 5 years, it hits the front page of the newspaper. There's water on Mars, as if they didn't run that article 5 years before. It's very odd. Anyway, this is a water planet, and water is considered to be a necessity for any sort of life. That seems to be, you know, the science that they're going on. So if they mess with the water, then they really are making a direct assault on life.
Now, I did
and
run
this particular. Yes,
I did run across an article where they discovered a deep in the earth ocean of water up in near the Arctic area.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But I don't know
that.
Whether it's
maybe you could send me that.
Okay, I'll try to forward that on. Now, as far as Dr. Carley, you had a person on one of your programs who was, I'm trying to think of what his profession was, that he was proving about the vaccinations that was causing strokes.
Yes, Dr. Malden from Canada.
Right.
Yes.
Do you want to explain a little bit what he was uncovering with the vaccinations?
Yes. Well, in my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, I describe how vaccinations cause all allergies and anaphylactic shock, autoimmune diseases, and cancer. What Dr. Malden has added to the mix is that he has developed technology that now shows, and he can document strokes that occur after vaccinations. And these are happening in children, these are happening in the elderly, these are happening in soldiers. And it's very exciting that he has this proof because they will be able to use this in court to prove vaccine damage. As it turns out, in Canada, their parliament has not totally betrayed the public to the extent that our Congress has. In Canada, there is no immunity for Big Pharma, and they can actually even be brought up on criminal charges for their criminal negligence in putting all these vaccines out there that are causing all this death and destruction. So Dr. Molden is going to be, you know, sharing this technology with the public. Last I heard from him, it will probably be at the end of September, and he's now actually taking cases where he's going into court and proving this vaccine damage. This is going to be very important because there's no way for them to deny that this is happening. He actually does this with photographs and using facial recognition technology and his outstanding knowledge of neurology, knowing which cranial nerves and which parts of the brain control which aspects of the face. He can document where strokes are occurring in children and all those other individuals that I mentioned after vaccinations. So the number of people that are coming forward to speak out against vaccinations is increasing. There's not as many doctors as there are veterinarians. The veterinarian community is much more involved in spreading this information, but we are getting, you know, a small army together that's going to go up against Big Pharma and prove what they're doing.
Do you want to get into the pet issue with the vaccinations a little bit?
Yes. Well, my associate, Dr. Patricia Jordan, who is to pets what I am to people, she has been documenting for years, especially all the cancers being caused in pets. As a matter of fact, it's gotten so insane that they're now recommending to pet owners that when they get their pets vaccinated, they should get them vaccinated low on their leg near the paw so that if they develop a cancer, they could just chop off the paw. They don't have to take off the whole leg. Talk about insanity. And she was actually recently fired from her job at a veterinary clinic because she wouldn't stop documenting all the pets that were getting cancer. But it's not just cancer. It's the same thing in pets. They're getting seizures. They're getting diabetes. All kinds of problems. Dogs get something called reverse sneezing instead of asthma. But the same exact things that are happening to people are happening to pets. And this is very important not only for pet lovers to realize that they have to stop vaccinating their pets as well, but because pets are like canaries in the coal mine, because of their relatively short lifespan compared to humans, they show the vaccine damage much quicker and much more outwardly. Not to mention the fact that especially with the thoroughbred population, the genetic damages that are showing up in these pets is just unbelievable. Almost all breeds now are just loaded with different genetic problems, and these are coming from the vaccines as well. The good news is that the protocol that I developed can reverse these problems, and so that's what I want to tell people. Don't be afraid to learn this information just because you're going to have to face what you've done to the people, the children especially, or the pets you love. There is a way to reverse the damage. But my main goal is to stop this insanity altogether because the death and disease and the suffering that's being caused by vaccinations, there's no way that our government could pay for this damage. I mean, our country's bankrupt already, but there's not enough money to pay the damages to all the families that would deserve them if they were actually allowed to go to court. So what we have to do is to stop this, and the only way we're going to stop it is for an army of people to rise up and say they're not going to take it anymore, especially when they unleash the bird flu vaccine. I am convinced that not only will the bird flu vaccine cause the bird flu pandemic and give these minions an excuse to put us into martial law, but there's going to be microchips in there, and there's also genetic chips. And these genetic chips, as far as I'm concerned, are the mark of the beast. That's what's going to alter our very genetic structure. And they're coming up with all kinds of behavioral vaccines now. They have vaccines that they're going to give to people to stop them from using various recreational drugs and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. What about the Gardasil vaccine?
Well, you have to have a kind of a sense of humor in my line of work, and I mean, actually, Gardasil is pretty funny, although it's not funny because of all the young girls that are dying. There was an article in a New York paper that somebody sent me documenting 16 girls that died after getting the vaccine. Of course, the vaccine manufacturers say there's no proof that the vaccine caused their death. I mean, you're having teenage girls drop dead, you know, after their vaccine. I mean, excuse me, you know, since when do we just ignore the temporal relationship? If you stub your toe and your toe turns purple and gets all swollen, are you going to say it's just a coincidence that this happened to your toe, or was it related to the stubbing of the toe? I mean, for some reason, with these vaccines, it's always a coincidence. When your child comes down with autism after the MMR vaccine, it's just a coincidence. They tell the parents that it was going to happen anyways. You know, this just happened to happen after the vaccine. But the most insane thing about the Gardasil vaccine, and I encourage all your listeners to check this out for yourself. The Gardasil vaccine, which allegedly protects you against cervical cancer, is the first anti-cancer vaccine. And when you read the package insert, you will see it has never been tested to see if it causes cancer. Now, you will find that statement with every vaccine. No vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer, because they know they cause cancer. But for the Gardasil vaccine to not be tested to see if it causes cancer, that's a little bit obvious.
So who is doing the testing and the documenting on that if the drug companies are not?
Well, nobody.
Okay, all right.
You see, this is how corrupt the FDA, the Fatal Drugs Allowed Agency, has become. They just believe the drug companies. The drug companies do their own testing. They report to the FDA. It's put in the physician's desk reference. Nobody double-checks anything. And they're not made to test to see if things cause cancer. Because, see, you have to realize, the FDA is basically a revolving door with the drug companies. High-ups in the drug companies go work for the FDA, and then they go back to the drug companies. It's totally been corrupted. Conflicts of interest are just legion. And so the drug companies test their own drugs, and the FDA prints what they say, and, you know, business continues.
Hmm. Janet, you've had some experience that you've been going through lately that's kind of a sideline as to some of this other information, correct?
Oh, I certainly have. I had mentioned that I was just finishing up an article for the American Bulletin where I'd been working as a staff reporter for a year on this water stuff, and I had also just close to the sudden termination of my employment there. I had been over at the police department to file an addendum to a report that I had filed. Last September, and I discovered, to my shock and horror, that the report and the evidence that I had given the police department, it was a criminal complaint, the report and the evidence had disappeared. And an officer came out to the lobby of the police department to, you know, take my update on the report, and, you know, well, there isn't any existing report. And he searched by my address, because sometimes he says, well, they'll find it searching by, and it wasn't there. So this was pretty upsetting. And unfortunately, things have now evolved in a very unfortunate manner. I insisted that a report get taken and that I get a case number from this officer. So he wrote a report that could only be considered an utter vicious ad hominem attack on me. No merit to whatever I say, blah, 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 you know, it's like that. No merit to whatever I say. So I was very concerned that the police department was disappearing reports and evidence. And so I contacted this officer's commanding officer, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, you know, I'm very upset that my report's disappeared. And he says, his name is Sergeant Sergi of the Medford Police Department. He said, get over it. And I said, I'm not getting over it. I said, you know, this is amazing. This is illegal for you to do this. So it was not, it was just wasn't going anywhere. So I was told by a city councilman that there was a communications advisory committee that was a citizen committee, which basically oversaw the police department, and I should go talk to them about this. And the communications advisory committee only meets quarterly, and, you know, we'll hear any sort of issue you have with the city employee or city agency. So I went and spoke to them about this, and the police showed up in force, you know, to respond, and there was a councilman also, Bob Strasser, who, and basically Bob Strasser was trying to defend the department, and the department was trying to behave very dismissively, and, you know, no merit to whatever. So I stuck my ground. I stood my ground. This was televised, by the way, and as a result, the department really ended up with egg all over their face, and they were forced to assign a detective to my case. Well, the detective apparently really has no interest in the criminal complaint and has used this as a springboard to jumpstart an investigation of me. And one of the first things he has done is he has subpoenaed my telephone records. And I just found this out the other day, and I was aghast. There was, given, you know, the nature of the complaint and what was, you know, the whole issue, which is somewhat complex and doesn't, you know, not to go into it all here. There's no reason for him to subpoena my phone records. But I spoke with several attorneys about this. I spoke to a former prosecutor up in Portland, and I was really advised to withdraw my complaint, because that way, if they don't have a moving party, they can't proceed with their investigation, which is apparently of me. I have to state, I have no criminal record. I have a clean slate. I don't know what they're looking for, but whatever it is, they appear to be on a fishing expedition, and it's very inappropriate. You know, I call people in my line of work. You know, I call people all over the country. I call the city councilmen. I call attorney generals. I call other reporters. I call sources. And suddenly all that is going to land plop at the Medford Police Department. So I tried to withdraw my complaint, and I was told just today that they will not allow me to withdraw my complaint. And they will continue on with their investigation, even if I state that I'm, you know, not interested in it as the moving party and as the complainant. I don't want them to. They're going to continue anyway. And when I was also shocked at that, and the detective assigned to the case, his name is Scott Clausen, talking to him about this today, I said, well, I wanted to withdraw the complaint. And he said, why? And I said, well, I'm sort of shocked at the way that you're behaving and what you're doing here, subpoenaing my records and, you know, further invasions of my privacy. And he said, oh, well, if you withdraw your complaint, then I'll charge you with making a false police report. It's like, right. You know, it's like, I said, oh, my word, you know.
Well, I think so, they have to have a criminal complaint to do what they're doing, technically.
Well, I believe they do. I know most states you do really have to have a moving party. I don't, somebody told me, and I don't know if she's accurate or not, that they repealed that law in Oregon. But I really think the prosecutor I spoke with up in Portland said, yeah, you need to have a moving party. You need to have a complainant. But they are just charging full speed ahead. And he said, well, we're going to get your phone records, and we're just going to go from there. And I go, oh, well, you know, that department had disappeared my original a September report. And that department, after I started raising holy crap about that, they came up with that original dispatch call, and they said, well, we found it by doing an address search because we misspelled your name. But prior to my raising hell about that, they had done an address search and they couldn't find it. So that department, which originally disappeared my report, fabricated another one to make it look like they had not committed a felony and disappeared a report. So that department, which is disappearing reports and evidence and then fabricating them in order to cover their own behind is now going to be in charge of looking at my records. That department makes things up. So I am declaring I am a clean slate. I have no criminal record. I have no idea what they're looking for, but that department fabricates things. And I am very concerned about that. People who know anything about my work on the water stuff, my work on the probate conservatorship issue, my work, my article on Army Regulation 210-35 as how it relates to the homeless situation, you know, will realize that I'm really attempting to go to the heart of what our government is doing in eugenics programs. And these eugenics programs, these are programs where people are dying and will die as a result of direct government action. So it does appear that I've ended up on the radar, and it appears that I am being investigated now, full speed ahead, for what? I mean, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of this?
Well, apparently.
So I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about my own safety. I'm very concerned, you know, about what they're going. If they can't find something, are they going to make something up? So I don't know. And I'm considering my options right now. You know,
and I just wanted to also mention that I'm very grateful to Janet. It took me 9 years to find a reporter to investigate what was done to my only son, who is now 12. I've had no contact with him for over 5 years. I'm not allowed to call him on his birthday, not allowed to send him a Christmas present, nothing. He was taken away from me when he was only 3 years old and put in the custody of the man who horribly abused him. And Janet was the first reporter with a backbone to investigate the documents that I have in my possession. She wrote a wonderful story, which actually you can access by going to drcarly.com. Scroll down below the picture of myself and Joey, and there's a link to that article that Janet wrote for the American's Bulletin. And what people have to realize is, as you're concerned about what's happening in China, you know, how they're taking away the rights of those people, we're always talking about, you know, bringing democracy to Iraq. The people here in this country who are standing up for the truth, who are risking everything to save your life, are being tortured. And that's what people have to realize. And that is one of the saddest things to me, is how people here in this country, you know, the whistleblowers that come forward, they don't seem to care. It's like, well, they actually start to think that, you know, we're crazy. Why would we risk life and limb, child, whatever, to do our work, you know, to save humanity? Why would we do this? And we're looked upon as, like, really, you know, who would do this? So we must be crazy. People have to care about those who are risking everything for them and start to understand that, you know, it's not just us. Yeah, we may be the first ones that are taken out, but they're going to come for you, too.
I mean, that's pretty much in that understanding, if it's written in the documents about, you know, depopulating the earth. I mean, when you look at the Georgia Guidestones, when they plan on having, what, 550 million people, well, there's a lot of people missing if that's the case.
Yeah.
So, so what do you guys plan on, is there anything that we can do to really, I mean, other than what we're doing right now, is there anything else that we can do or get other people to do so that this information is getting out and doing some good? I mean, I can't understand why they would be giving a hepatitis B vaccination to a newborn child.
Because that's what starts the sickness process. There is no logical reason. The newborns aren't having orgies and shooting up IV drugs and, you know, doing all these kinds of things. As a matter of fact, it's really amazing. When I was in medical school in the early 80s, we were actually told that you never give a vaccine before a child is 6 months of age, and that you never vaccinate a pregnant woman. They're doing both now. So I don't know how they've twisted and spun it to where this is a good thing. But it's very obvious that they're starting the sickness process going. And they're weeding out who can survive. And they're creating a whole class of children that are basically kind of like zombies. I mean, autistic children are very intelligent as a rule, but they're not able to speak. And so basically this is a voiceless class that's growing at huge increases every day. And, of course, this is creating a whole industry, this whole special education growing population that's happening. The schools get at least $5,000 an extra head for every child that's labeled special needs. You have a whole group, a whole industry going of occupational therapists and special ed teachers and all these people that are making money off, quote-unquote, educating these children, although you can't educate a vaccine-damaged child. They need to be detoxed. But, you know, they're just promoting all these things. It's another way to keep people busy. If you have a damaged child, especially if the child's autistic, you have no life. And trying to heal and deal with that child becomes your life. So they're doing everything they can to distract the people. You know, having us watch television and all these different things that are going on, having us look over there while they're pulling the rug out from under us. As far as your question as to what we can do, as far as I'm concerned, the most important thing that every person needs to do is to educate yourself and spread the word. Not everyone is going to get on a soapbox and risk everything to go public and speak on internet radio. Matter of fact, I just want to also mention that Janet and I do a show together every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Republic Broadcasting called Two If by C. So you can imagine the subject matter that we get into. But if you don't want to do anything yourself, at least spread the word. Tell people where they can get this important information. Let them check it out for themselves. Once we reach critical mass, once enough people know what our treasonous government is really up to, things will change in a heartbeat. It may get a little ugly, but things will change, and I know that. I don't believe that.
It's kind of overwhelming at times, I can tell you that.
Yes, it is. It's hard to know the truth. It is.
So what you said a while ago that autism isn't caused by mercury, so...
No.
It's caused by the vaccinations.
It's caused by the viruses themselves.
Okay.
It's caused by basically two processes, demyelination, which is where you have an autoimmune attack on the myelin sheath of the nerve, which is to a nerve what the plastic coating is on an electrical cord. It's an insulator and it allows proper conduction of nerve impulses. And now thanks to Dr. Molden, who's brought up the second mechanism of damage, the stroke aspect, you're actually having these children stroke out. So both of these things can lead to autistic symptoms. Because, see, the only thing that determines what disease you have is where is your nervous system damaged. That's the only thing that determines. However the damage occurs, the symptoms that you get are because of the area of the brain damaged. But it's not just the brain, as I said. It's insulin-dependent diabetes, asthma, allergies, arthritis, cancer. It's every autoimmune disease you can imagine. So, everybody has a weak link, and if they would leave their poison out of us, we would not get sick. You know, they're constantly blaming the parents, saying that these diseases are genetic. That's a lie. It's basically just that you inherit a certain weak link in your body, and once you get enough toxins pumped into you, you're going to manifest the problem. And the vaccines are what starts the whole ball rolling.
And how about the flu vaccination? What do you think?
It's very bad. As a matter of fact, the flu vaccine is one of the few vaccines where they actually admit that it causes Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré syndrome is another very serious neurological condition which can be, fatal. And this has happened from all flu vaccines, the swine flu vaccine. One of the main reasons they stopped that policy in the 1970s is because so many people were dying of Guillain-Barré. But what I always ask people, and this is a very good question for all of you to start asking your white coats or even people that are believing in vaccines, if a virus is bad, and if you don't want to get infected with a virus, then why are you injecting it into your bloodstream? Not only the virus, but all the other chemicals in the vaccines as well, because mercury's bad, it has no business being in vaccines, it has no business being in amalgam fillings. We have formaldehyde in vaccines, which pickles dead people. It's a carcinogen. We have aluminum, which I found proof in this NATO book. They've known for many years that that is what causes the allergy response in people that are vaccinated. They're putting aspartame in vaccines. Now, how obvious is that, that they have bad intentions? What do you care what your vaccination tastes like? They're putting MSG in vaccinations. There's some flu vaccines, especially the ones that are sprayed up your nose, that have MSG in them. MSG is a meat tenderizer, so you can imagine what that's doing to the alveoli of your lungs. This is causing a huge increase in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. It is getting so obvious that they're doing these things intentionally. So what I would do if I was people listening is never get another vaccine. If you have any autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizure, because there's only two ways to get seizures, trauma or vaccines. There are things that make it worse, like aspartame, but those are the two ways you get seizures. If you have cancer, you have to realize that there's natural ways to deal with all of these things. Of course, it's not covered by insurance. So what is our corrupt government doing as a way to try to force people to go the medical model? They're actually now in some states, it's already happened in Massachusetts, passing laws mandating that everyone have health insurance. In Massachusetts, if you don't have a health insurance plan, they penalize you at tax time. So once you're mandated to have medical insurance, then there's certain things you have to do to keep the insurance. You have to get mammograms. Mammograms cause breast cancer. You have to get different tests. You know, depending on how old you are, they recommend colonoscopy. You know, I know of a case in Long Island where they weren't properly cleaning the scopes because you can't autoclave a scope. It has to be put in a chemical to kill the viruses that are on the scope from the last patient. That chemical is called Cydex. That's a carcinogen in itself. But in this one clinic in Long Island, they weren't properly sterilizing the equipment with this chemical, and 16 people got hepatitis B. Because the virus was transmitted from one person to the next. So all of these tests they're doing have side effects. And if you detoxify yourself and make yourself well with natural supplements, eating good food, organic food, non-genetically engineered, non-radiated, if you drink pure water, if you breathe good air, if you try to de-stress yourself as much as possible, although it is very difficult when you're learning things like we're talking about tonight, you will be healthy, and that's what people have to realize. They have to stay away from the white coats, which are causing all of these problems.
That's quite a lot to swallow there, isn't it? When you were talking about the different effects of the vaccinations, is there... I've heard ALS and MS even tied into that.
All of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the same situation as with autism, only the strokes and or the demyelination are occurring in a different area. All of these things, Tourette's, okay. Parkinson's, learning disabilities, ADD, even criminal behavior. There's a very outstanding and important book called Vaccinations, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter. You can get that book from going to thinktwice.com. That's one of the best sources I know of to find books telling the truth about vaccinations. And in this unbelievably well-documented book, he shows how vaccinations are associated with violence and criminality. So when you understand how huge this is, because it's everything you can imagine, the obesity epidemic, why do you think so many children are obese? It's not just because of the fact that they're eating fast food. It's because their thyroid glands are being destroyed by vaccinations and fluoride. Fluoride is another toxin that destroys the thyroid gland. There are parts of the brain that can be destroyed, which will make you very obese or very anorexic, which will make you very violent or very docile. So the vaccinations are involved in just about every single thing you can imagine. Even schizophrenia is from vaccinations, and Dr. Mulder is proving that.
Is it a Dr. Jordan?
Yes.
You were discussing how that was affecting the pets, too, and their behavior.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, it's truly amazing. I have two dogs. One of them has never been vaccinated. One of them was vaccinated when I got him, and I've detoxed him subsequently. But my unvaccinated pet, she's so healthy, it's unbelievable, and Janet's met my sweetie pie. She's just boundless energy, and she's just amazingly healthy. But she was afraid of lightning. And I took my dog to a homeopathic vet, and he recommended that I give my dog a homeopathic called Lisin, which is a detox from the rabies vaccine. And I gave it to my dog, and now she's not afraid of thunder anymore. And I realized that the rabies virus, or any viruses, is actually transmitted from mother to child. So one of my dog's vaccinated ancestors actually transmitted either the virus itself or the miasm. The vaccines, once they're given, they cause vaccine damage, and this is a homeopathic term, miasm. I'm going to have a homeopath by the name of Kate Birch on my Republic Broadcasting show on September 17th, and she'll be explaining these issues. But these things are transmitted from generation to generation, including the mothers. The pregnant mothers can transmit vaccine viruses to their children. And I realized this when I had four or five children that were autistic that had never been vaccinated but responded to my protocol. And that's how I realized that the viruses can also be transmitted from mother to child. And because once they're vaccinated into you, there's no way for your body to push them out. And I explain why that is in my paper, Inoculations, The True Weapons of Mass Destruction. It involves an antibody called IgA, which is in the upper respiratory and GI tracts, which is critical for the proper processing of viruses or bacteria that we inhale. And that's how you're supposed to be exposed to these viruses, naturally. And this antibody first interacts with the viruses, and this leads to them eventually being able to be pushed out of the body, and this is how you develop natural lifelong immunity. When you inject a virus into someone, there's no way for them to clear it. And I actually found proof of this in my medical books, which is mentioned in my response to the CDC on drcarley.com. Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, which is the Bible by which all medical students all over the world learn internal medicine, I found one of the older editions that actually admits that vaccines do not prevent disease. They give you a chronic state of the disease. And now I'm realizing, and Dr. Molden has also proven this with his work, that the viruses can be transmitted from one generation to the next. So just imagine, as the vaccinated generations continue to pile up, what we're going to end up with. As a matter of fact, Dr. Harold Buttram, who also is a doctor that's been working to help stop the vaccine holocaust for many years, told me many years ago that the vaccination agenda is going to lead to the extinction of humanity if we don't stop it. That's how serious this is.
Well, so it just doesn't seem to be anything positive here.
Well, the good news is you can reverse the damage. That's the positive. And the good news is that if you know anyone that has a baby or is pregnant, you know, you've got to share this information with them so that they can avoid a tragedy in their lives. That's the good news. It's better to know than not to know.
Well, some of the people that you're aware of that have reversed it, how long does it often take to eradicate their symptoms?
Well, I've reversed over 2,000 cases of autism alone, but I have clients that have everything you can imagine. And this is what I've learned over the years, and this is what I explain to my clients. There's four things that determine how much of a reversal you're going to get. First of all, you're going to do what you have to do. Obviously, if you don't take the remedies and if you don't stop, using some things like fluoride and aspartame and things of that nature that you have to stop using, it's not going to be as effective. The second thing is how old the person is. The younger the person, the more dramatic and quickly the effects of the protocol occur. The third thing is how long you've had the problem. I've seen a tremendous increase in insulin-dependent diabetes since they came out with this insane chickenpox vaccine. So what I tell people that have diabetes is, in a little child, chances are we're going to be able to reverse it. If you've had diabetes for 30 years, chances are we're not going to be able to totally reverse it. However, you will become as healthy as is possible once you detoxify yourself and learn what natural good supplements you need to take to build up your body. And then the fourth thing that determines how much reversal they get is, are they willing to go off the drugs? Because in all cases, the drugs make the problem worse. So that's the situation. So the younger the person, the less shorter of a time they've had the problem, and especially if they're not taking drugs, they should have excellent results. But I've never had anyone that did not improve, at least to some degree.
Okay, and are these radical techniques, or are they just a matter of, you know, changing their diet?
No, it's not just changing your diet. You have to detoxify. I use something called homeopathic nosodes to do that, which are remedies where you actually take the actual problem substance, be it a vaccine, virus, or heavy metals or whatever, and you use the energy of that substance. It's much diluted and succussed, it's called. They shake it up. By the time you get done, you have a remedy that doesn't have any of the actual substance in it. It just has the energy of the thing. And by putting those remedies under your tongue, it forces your body to push those things out. So the big picture of my protocol is the last diagram on my website. It involves detoxification, alkalinization, uncorrupting the immune system to get it to stop turning on you, and natural therapies to repair the damage. So every protocol is different. That's why I have to do an individual protocol for each person based on their history. Okay. But that's the big picture of the protocol.
Okay, great. So in wrapping it up for the evening, ladies, do you guys have some closing comments?
Well, one thing I would just like to say, if anybody's interested in getting a consult, please call me. My number's on my website. It's 828-294-0662. I take calls between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the week. I'm having so many problems with the Internet now. My webmaster tells me it's a full-time job just to keep my site up. My email, it only works every 2 or 3 days. It's constantly being hacked into. I have updates that I send out to my clients. They haven't worked in a couple of months. So it's just amazing the kind of wasted time you have to deal with. Janet and I have often kidded with each other. I wonder how much of the gross national product is being spent, you know, spying on people like us and torturing us in various ways. And this is what you're spending your money on, folks. But the one thing I will say is, do not be afraid. Fear stands for federal effort against reform. And once we wake up enough people, we are going to change things. Because after all, God is in control, and I think God's getting pretty pissed off about what's going on down here.
And Janet?
Well, I would like to reinforce what Rebecca just said in terms of waking people up, because we can take our country back and we can reassert our power over our own lives. But in order to do that, we have to be aware of what the mechanisms are of generating fear, what the mechanisms are of the planned attacks. And as soon as people understand what the real issues are, what the weapon systems are, what's going on in those probate courts, what's going on with the double water lines, what's going on with all these vaccinations, those sorts of issues, as soon as we have an educated populace, the people in power are going to have to, well, I think of the Wicked Witch of the West, I think it was, and you throw water on her and she just melts. And the truth will set us free, but it has become very difficult to distinguish what that truth is because of the levels and levels of lies. But as soon as we wake up to what is the nature of our existence here? We are living in a matrix of lies. What are the lies and what is the truth? It's going to be okay.
it will be okay, but we have to spread the word, and we have to let our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends know what is really going on in this country now.
Well, I want to commend you two ladies and your courageousness of speaking your truth and informing the public. I do know that I'm hearing more and more doctors come forward on the vaccination issue. That's for sure. And I want to say good night and thank you for coming on Truth Quest.
Thank you for the
opportunity. Thank you very much, Melody.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
A lot to think about.